You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV, copyright 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
To all of you who care about the show so much that it hurts you when the show is bad, I will again apologize for what happened yesterday. I have not been myself. You are not to be trusted with my vulnerability generally, but I will in this instance simply tell you that I know it was a bad show. I knew before you did. I did it. So I know I didn't do well yesterday. That happens sometimes. And what I'm telling you is that I've been crawling on my hands and knees over 12 very difficult months. And that was whatever this weekend was, it short-circuited me. Like, it was a lot of pressure, and to see it happen, like to see it succeed and everything else, and then have a legitimate fight in the middle of it about, you know, about a Pepper, whether a Pepper was God or whether a Pepper was going to bankrupt the company. Like, there's a lot of space in there.
I say we do a deeper dive on the Peppers. I don't think we tackled that.
No,
Jesus. Look, Christ, enough about Peppers.
All my fault. I don't know that I've ever said that about anything. All of it. What happened yesterday to this show, the killing of Mike, the hospitalization of Billy, the Stugatz leaving early sick, was a byproduct of me being terrible at my job at an important time. I know this before you do. It lands on me before you do. Stugatz has a better attitude about these things. He's so good. Text in the middle of the night. Dan, shake it off. Gotta let that stuff go. As I'm like, you know, crawling through my bedroom at 4 a.m., punching myself in the face.
Well, I mean, I texted you, hey, we raised $140,000. Everyone's healthy except for Mike. Let's move on.
Right,
I mean,
and Billy, and you.
Right,
but so everyone's clear. Stugatz, right in every way. Me and the audience. The audience, right in every way. Me, wrong in every way. I'm sorry. No wiggle room, nothing. I'm not going to try and sneak around the corner. Nope. You're right. I'm wrong. But one of the things that I noticed, a vantage point from the review of the weekend that I noticed that I'd never seen before, which is, because I really don't understand, Cody was just sitting in here with me as Whittingham explained the numbers of what we did. And I don't know what they are. I didn't know what they are. I just know that it was good. It felt good. And I knew our audience was engaged. But I've never seen like the way any of this stuff works. I'm inside the TV truck. So when to walk out where our executives were, and to watch them marvel at what was happening numerically on the screen, like, I've never seen this. This does not happen. People who have experiences with this, watching the way people flood in and the specifics of a community in the chat, God bless us. I hope we can keep that clean, because if we can make that a place where the community exists to play around with each other who get this show, it could be so much cooler than Twitch. I'm guessing people are going to foul this up because the internet cannot be trusted. Look, I heard from you yesterday. You can, no matter the circumstances, you cannot be trusted to not be cruel.
I admire your optimism, Dan, but live chats on any platform,
yeah,
probably not going to go well.
Nope.
Okay, so may we make it a more peaceful place than it is, a less toxic place than it's been by 1 degree.
My wife was asking last night, she was like, I was watching the mentions on YouTube as you guys were doing it, and everyone seems to love David Sampson. What's going on with that? They were demanding that he come on. I said, Abby, they had a bet that he'd come on. They don't care if he came on.
Yes, and so I do want to cover some of this because it was one of my favorite things to see happen, just to be able to watch executives try to get downloaded really fast on what our show is and what the community is, because the people here to protect us from all the shit, all of the shit, there is so much shit in what we're about to head into. We're sort of learning in real time, downloading the show at real speed. Okay, this is how all of this works. This is how the community is engaged. And so they see the numbers drop when Stugatz is lazy on stupidity, and they see what happens in the chat. Like, they have the ways to measure all this stuff in a way that we don't. They see what's happening in the chat specifically that happened at no other time in the show when Jamel and Michael came on.
That was my lead-in.
That was, you were the lead-in for them. I don't think you know how lead-ins work.
I left them with a massive audience. I mean,
okay, but you have, okay.
It really shows a lack of understanding with how televisions and lead-ins work.
Don't care.
Nope. You were the lead-in.
Yeah, I know that. And I provided them with a very nice lead-in.
Yeah, but
audience.
You said you were...
Okay. You said they were your lead-in.
Yes, and that's...
Okay. No, it's a fine.
Okay. All right, let's see how much
he buys some money.
So $2.
The numbers dropped, and it's only because Stugatz... It's because of what we were just talking about. Stugatz tossed it over to Adnan, you do it, and he yammered a bunch. And people do not want to listen to yammers, as you guys explained to me in great detail and cruelly yesterday.
Also, it wasn't just yammering. Love Adnan. But from the car with his phone held out, I believe he was driving, might have been dangerous.
No, there was so much art in those 24 hours, not the least of which is, were you guys not in the meeting that Stugatz wasn't in where I just shouted to everybody, hey, he's gonna f*** this up if somebody doesn't get him a guest? Like, I just said, I'm like, trust me, he will outsource all of this. And everybody says, oh, it'll be fine. Stugatz always produces magic.
Couldn't it also be a little bit, though, that people had been watching for 5 straight hours and they had to go be humans? You know, I've been watching this since noon. I got to go talk to my wife and kids for a little bit.
The 5 o'clock drop off might have happened anyway, but also the stupidity hour being led with Chris and I reading because there was nothing else planned was probably not the best idea.
No.
So you guys were...
But that's stupidity. I mean, we just we ramble around for a while until we find
Lazy
something.
River.
Yeah, exactly.
Except nothing was found.
Yeah, we didn't find anything. I mean,
what stupidity is, just so we understand each other, as we're all looking around for Stugatz, knowing that he's going to kick the can down the road and it's going to be a mess and it's going to be a disaster and somebody's going to have to bail him out. I offered at that meeting, should I just stay here in the event that it goes into a ditch 5 minutes in? Because I was afraid of all of that happening. As we're looking for Stugatz, where's the white suit? The marching band is ready. We need to rehearse with Stugatz. Where is he? We need to do this right. The timing's important. He hasn't been in any of the meetings. He's taping stupidity upstairs.
Well, it was a bet for stupidity.
He's taping. He's not. He didn't do his job
in
any of the months beforehand.
Right, but I nailed the parade, did I not?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
did.
Come on.
Yeah, that was a highlight.
I just think, like, we wanted to give stupidity a spotlight, but everyone's mad when Stugatz did stupidity. What did we expect when we said we're giving Stupidity an hour? And he did Stupidity.
Anyone who has listened to Stupidity, I did it. Yeah, you're right. I did it. I did Stupidity without Dan and Mike breathing down my neck. I mean, that's what I'd like to do. And that's what happened when I was doing it live during the marathon. Dan, you've never listened to Stupidity. That was every other episode. I mean, we ramble around, we talk, there's a produced bit, and then I bring on a guest who fills time. That's what it is, Stupidity.
You should wear as a diaper and clothing the I'm here towel from the Knicks, because all you're giving us is I'm here.
Yeah.
And whatever happens after that, I'm here.
Doing pretty well, except for that 1 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, well, okay, so the show goes into the ditch there, and then numerically.
Although I will tell you, one of the executives, Gary, loved the Knicks eulogy. I mean, laugh out loud, funny, loved the Knicks eulogy. It went downhill from there.
I'd love how every guest on Stupidity has the game with their name in it. Like Marty Fish, Fish or Fishy, Adnan, it's Adnan or Madnan. Like it's the same game, just using their name.
Yeah, we're lazy.
So at 6 o'clock, Jamel and Michael head into the chat. And so now the executives are getting this view from that, right? Because we know the way the whole thing's constructed, of course, it's all wacky hijinks. Lord knows, we know that you always want the wacky hijinks. The rodeo clowns is the reason that I'm one of the reasons that I'm the most unpopular one, because the environment, me as straight man taking everything too seriously, allows everybody to be the rodeo clowns and you know, ultimately the best versions of themselves. So they were watching what was happening in the chat, and they sort of moved away, like moved physically away from what was happening, because all of a sudden the audience that was in on the hijinks, now, oh, here's race. It's not why they were there. Like, we were trying to do this at ESPN. Skipper's, like, he gave them the signature brand. Mm-hmm. You should see how they protect SportsCenter up there. You should see how they respect that as the thing that built everything. He gave them the signature brand at 6 o'clock. Skipper gave them that. And they earned it, and it took them longer to earn it than everyone else because Jamel had to be the only black woman journalist doing sports opinion, the only one for years. And so she had to earn it. 6 p.m. SportsCenter in an entity that's trying to sort of become about journalists, buying the journalists, buying the credible people, because Skipper wants the writers in the room. It built 30 for 30, just documentaries around writers. They're interesting. Wants the writers in the room, wants the creatives in the room. And then the chat. So it was all fun and games. There's a snake in the room. We're fooling around doing normal show. And now they've backed up from the computers and stuff. They've backed. I see it back up when the chat starts with Jamel and Michael.
There were two snakes in that room.
And I'm seeing these kinds of things that are fascinating to me to watch and to see them learn, because they're like, whoa, there's some racial division in this chat now. It's going back and forth. And look, this is interesting how the audience that was just gathered, now it's become something else in the chat. And it becomes about not liking Michael and Jamel, but not for the reasons that you think, right? Just what's happening in the chat, it's all coded. It's all coded. But none of the people arguing about it would say honestly that they were saying that. It just becomes the argument. And so Carl, our head of audio, is watching this. And he sees it and wonders, man, that's the group of your audience that, you know, before we weren't having an opinion about anything. This is the thing with Adnan. You could stay likable if you don't have if you don't have a strong enough opinion about anything but the movies, you could really stay likable. And so he says they don't like that some of your audience does not like Jamel and Michael. And to my response, and I'm like, well, yeah, there's some of that. Yeah, but no, that's the group of my audience that doesn't like me. That's the one that doesn't like that I'm always throwing the sociology into right. The circus tent.
Exactly.
And doing the serious stuff. And this is one of my favorites. And I don't have to listen to you guys at all on this one anymore. Like, I do not have to listen. But don't put South Beach Sessions in the show, the long, important social interviews. I want the show to be the show. Just fun, fun, happy, happy hijinks. And the answer to you is no. And it's going to be no the rest of the way now. And I don't even want to say that with, like, smugness. It's just like, that's what freedom's going to be. No, we'll put the South Beach Sessions wherever we goddamn please now. Because as supportive as you were of everything that we did before, you were always on my neck in those moments when I'm being the advocate for Jamel and Michael. And like, you were on my neck, that portion of the audience. And so no more. Like that, when I tell you why I was sobbing in my chair
before we started that show confident and didn't learn the numbers until right now, confident that we were going to do it right, is because we go high-low better than everybody. And we know that. And whether you want the high or not, it's medicine the rest of the way. And I'll go out shaking my fist into the sea, and I will lose at the end. Young people will take over, and you will not want it anymore. And hopefully our disciples here who have learned, like, I mean, Whittingham's, he's been in a cult for 15 years. A cult. Whittingham sits down yesterday, and those executives who were legitimately scared is like, man, isn't it great to do the show? And was like, I told him he was so arrogant. Like, he just sits down and like, oh, that's the show. One of the consequences, it's a pepper. Like, come on, everybody. Let's relax. He's 28 years old.
But also, it was a pepper, and she agreed to eat it. Like, I mean, we don't have to rehash that again. The point is that this show was going to do a variety of things over 24 hours. And like, look, I actually kind of deeply admire that the audience wants what they want. Like, everyone kind of views this show as whatever they want it to be. But over the course of 24 hours, Chris, it is. Yeah, I agree.
You can get whatever it is you need anywhere around here. It is a piano bar for the songs you want sung. But sometimes I'm going to sing mine with Jamel and Michael.
And sometimes I'm going to sing mine with a Nick Eulogy and Adnan Verk. And listen, at Levitard Show on Twitter, were you fine with the last hour? 51.3% of the audience said yes. That's a win, Dano. Win's a win.
I just think it's important to differentiate between the fans who have like legitimate comments and criticisms of the show and not getting what they want versus the ones who are just posting coded racism, sometimes not even coded, and misogyny in the chat. And those are the ones that I think we all kind of just need to ignore. And the ones who actually care about the show and like have some, like, there was a lot of feedback yesterday, like the show was rambling. Like, that wasn't necessarily untrue. And those are the ones that we listen to. But there's a lot of other garbage that if you're on any show, those aren't the people that you're trying to cater to or serve, right?
And you used the term on your neck, which makes me think about George Floyd. I'll be damned if we're not going to be talking about social issues in this country. I mean, that's your wheelhouse. We should be talking about social issues in this country anyway.
It's been interesting to surf that one over the last 2 years because, I mean, at the epicenter of what we had to do, as much as we make it about Chris and the freedom of an ass crack, was the fact that it's like, wait a minute, I was hired to do this. The country changed, the company changed, the country's president changed, the company's president changed. I didn't change. We didn't change. We are it's the height of you don't get the show. Like, it's the kernel at the center of all of this is we do high low. We cast a broad net. You can find whatever you need somewhere in here around the tether of it's okay. I don't care whether you hate me. It's fine. It's part of this deal. I wanted this voice. I wanted this freedom. Please bring it. But I couldn't say that over the last year. Like, you want to fight? You want to fight over this? When Roy will tell you, Roy grew up around here. We've been taking these bullets, these particular bullets, 10 years before anyone else in this space talking about the race shit around here. Like, that's what they hired. And they didn't know what they had hired, right? Because I remember the conversation, Stugatz, where I'm talking to an executive headed home, and they're like, the name Stugatz a week in. The name Stugatz, do we really want to? The name Stugatz is dangerous. I'm I know what it means. And yes, you got a letter from Utah, yes. But I know what the name Stugatz means. We're not changing the name. I just got done telling everybody we weren't changing anything about the show. You guys are trying to get rid of the animal guy. The name's not changing. No, but so that part I loved. Yes, I know. Say it again. What does it mean? Cock and balls. And I'm like, excuse me again? Cock and balls. Yeah, that's derivative of cock and balls, which cocky and ballsy are also derivative of cock and balls. That's the name.
My real last name is Wiener.
That was part of the explanation. Yes. And so that was a conversation for real, like a for real conversation.
That'd have been incredibly meta to have a conversation with an executive. Yeah, that's what that means.
at the beginning.
And we're sticking to it.
And they were not okay with it until they found out his last name was Wiener.
I got to say, I'd rather call him Stu Gotts than Wiener.
It's a lot better.
That was an improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the other one, Ron McGill, was fantastic because they did not want Ron as a part of the show. And 3 days later, he was on Good Morning America and SportsCenter.
Yeah, that part was funny, too. So let's get to weekend observations, all of which I got here the round way, and I told you I wasn't going to yammer anymore, and I'm guilty again of yammering, and I will pull back after this. But the point of my story through all of that stuff with Jamel and Michael and the audience and everything else is there are rarely moments that just end in universal applause where you can't find any division, even as we argue over maths, masks and science, and there And it was applause because everyone realized what was happening, that Mike Schur, writer for Saturday Night Live and The Office, creator of Parks and Rec, and an assortment of television shows that are viewed as the highest comedy in writing, the smartest comedy in writing, Mike Schur, who once upon a time was so weirded out that this thing existed anywhere that he had to come down here, write about it to explain it because he didn't understand how it existed. That guy took time out to give us a great honor that everyone recognized the honor in it when he did a mock weekend observations, marathon observations. There was nothing that got as universal applause. Maybe the Andrew Streeter video that he did on Fancy Lad.
We have a listener whose name is Jesse, who I think you and I both know and agree is probably, he gets the show. He's been listening since day one. He ranked the moments from over the weekend, and Mike Schur doing weekend observations was number one for him.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Stu Gotts, this is a true story, lest you not understand how some people go back with this show as we've turned Whittingham and Cortez into members of a cult because they've been with us since they were teenagers. Jesse has been writing the show since the beginning. You haven't met him, right?
I met him once during our toy drive many years ago.
I've never met him, and for all the years we've been doing this together, he writes Stu Gotts, and Stu Gotts always forwards me his thoughts, lest you think we not listen to you. We'd appreciate the criticism to be constructive. We know it's too much to ask, but you made us this smart about our audience. It's why we knew we could jump. We knew you were with us most of the time. you're with us 92% of the time until I do something that you really don't like.
Do you want Jesse's top five? Do you want his top? He gave me his top five
moments.
Let's
do Jesse's top five right here. Let's scramble because I wanted to do weekend observations here and play what was hugely flattering. I was so happy not to just see that it was happening, because that's one thing, but to see how happy Stu Gotts was. Like, Stu Gotts spent the entire time in his chair dancing with laughter because he was so delighted to be spoofed by that particular guy.
It was a combination of being spoofed by that kind of talent, and for a minute, you weren't yelling at me. It felt great.
It was also incredible. It was 10:40, right? We were 22 hours and 40 minutes in, and it was just like a spark plug. We laughed at every single joke back here because we were tired. Like, I knew myself, I think I had reached the finish line until Mike Schur's marathon observations, and I had the energy we needed to go an extra hour 10 because it was that good.
My youngest son, Michael, is a funny guy. He's done improv before. When he was talking to me about how much he enjoyed the show, the first place he went was Mike Schur.
So your son, an amateur comedian, is indeed saying that the height of comedy writer is indeed funny.
It's high praise.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
It's important. Who created Parks and Rec and The Good Place. Funny, right. Huh?
It's we should tell Mike Schur about my brother's note.
Just hammering home the point, Greg. I appreciate it.
Glad we gave Mike Schur a platform, honestly. Yeah.
Yes. How did he get one without us?
Right.
So the son of the Cody family, who is the youngest, hiding in the shadows, but also as funny as the others. He is as funny as the others, but He hides in the shadows. He says that, again, the younger brother of Ass right. Crack over here.
Yes.
Like the younger right. brother of Skin Knees and Ass Crack.
Has endorsed Mike Shore.
Has endorsed endorsed Mike
Long Crack, Dan. Long Crack. Shore.
Long is, white crack. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Cracking it.
So what? How are we doing this? The top five? We're going to do number five here. You have number five. You guys have coordinated what number five is.
I'm not giving out his whole name, but this is Jesse. He is a longtime listener. This is his top five moments from over the weekend.
All right. Number five.
Michelle Beadle's background being deer.
Yes. That was crazy. That was crazy. We argued for a moment. Juju thought they were fake deer. They were clearly not fake deer. She deer. Was coming to us from heaven.
I believe he accused the deer of crip walking.
Yeah, I don't understand what Juju was seeing because it looked like the most peaceful place I had ever seen.
It was a deer with a limp.
There were four or five deer behind her. It was manicured lawn, and what stretched out behind her was absolute tranquility.
He thought it was a green screen, by the way. Not mechanical deer.
It looked too perfect.
It really did.
It looked too perfect to be fake.
It also looked
too perfect to believe.
In the era of home offices, there have been a couple of incidents where people have been doing television in front of a television. Like the television serves as the background, and every once in a while they go to sleep, and you'd see... Sorry, I just hit the sound by mistake.
You're very excited. You should not move your hands when you talk around that machine.
I do gesticulate wildly sometimes.
Hit the fancy lad. With one of those gesticulations.
Gesticulate just sounds like a...
Put it on the pole. Whatever it is that hurts.
Put it where I was going.
Gesticulate just sounds like, and then just go, and put yes or no. Play the fancy lad on yourself in your own face with one of those gesticulating hands.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
You were saying.
Delightful.
That these backgrounds that are on television sometimes go out. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that Michelle Beadle was behind a television with live video of some ranch somewhere.
It is a good number five from a longtime listener who is as devoted as any. Number four.
There was a tie, guys. Cafecito.
So it's a top six.
And breakfast flan.
Just like generally cafecito, like the presence of it?
Your presence in it,
oh,
Smitty.
Well,
yeah.
Well. Okay. I have some good news. Cafecito's back.
You're having it this morning? You're having it this morning?
Oh, right. We're back at it, Dan. Let's go. All right, so you guys, read the rest of them. I'm really excited to hear the rest of them.
Wait, hold on. Before, do you want to hear Amin's new Breakfast of Flan song?
Yes. Who performed it? What are the details?
It was Amin. So obviously there was a previous version of the Breakfast of Flan song, which was to the tune of Rick Springfield's Jesse's Girl. But because that's a commercial song, we had to find a royalty-free thing for Amin to sing, and this is what he produced.
I was a little low energy this morning, but I had some breakfast flan, and it brought me back to life. Oh yeah, well we got a new breakfast flan song because we can't use the regular one because we don't have the rights to the music. Yeah. So we used some basically open
public domain.
Yeah. And it goes a little like this. Breakfast up flan. 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 Breakfast up flan.
Flan. It's a great song. It's a great song.
Breakfast up flan.
Breakfast up flan.
Why can we not have Amin work with some of our amateur musicians in the audience who want to help us to actually make that song something epic and strong? Would it be a copyrights problem? Would we have to fight?
I don't know, because Amin chose that tune specifically because it's in the public domain. So perhaps we can do something with that.
All right, well, figure it out. I'd like it by, I don't know, 15 minutes from now. The train is moving a little bit faster than it used to. We're going to have to get these things executed faster than we used to.
We're up to number three here.
Number three.
Chris versus Chris, Ass Crack Fall.
It's a good list.
Congrats.
He gets the show.
It's a good list. I'd like to recreate some of that right now just because I know we did it again and again, and it was funnier every time. I just want everyone, and you must, please have this fill your soul. Our greatest athlete became the greatest Chris by winning a race on his hands and knees, bleeding, with his ass crack showing, and he was the winner.
long crack. And I just want that to be the photograph that goes on this show's tombstone. Like, just, you want to remember.
Can it be the finish line at me on my knees and not my ass crack? How about just like the finish line?
But I just, what I'm telling you is, when can you guys look, as we enter the stage of mortality, of coughing Greg Cody and everything else, would you guys please promise me that whatever you do at the funeral, that is somewhere displayed prominently? Like, that just that photograph, however it is you guys decide.
And I'm witty with perfect form, like, just sticking
my neck out. And losing, no, the part of it, and losing to become the second greatest Chris. And again, the greatest Chris, just look at him. what I'm saying in terms of all symbolically, right? Chris, professional broadcaster, perfect form. He's going to win at the finish line. But no, what's there? The ass crack they left the worldwide leader in sports for, because it mattered like
I'm
that.
I'm proud of that.
Because it I'm mattered damn proud like of that. That ass crack, what's it worth? Ladies put $50 million bill by bill in that ass crack. Like, that's where we are. Where are we? Number two?
We're at number two, yeah. Kate Fagan, Mike Ryan, Dan Stugatz, Skipper, Blueprint, on the line, day one, riveting TV.
That, for people watching closely and not knowing whether that was a bit or not, I love so much that so much around here, you don't know whether it's a bit or not. I love that so much because I was, how about this? While I was in it, it's timeouts all over the place. Or you normally have commercials. You could talk things out. You have a second to think, right? Something, a live spot, something can stop. This is, my only break was stupidity, and I spent it worrying. Right. Because well, I
that
saw.
That was the problem. Yeah. You were, I felt it. You
so
know?
It wasn't actually rest. So this is 12 straight hours. And while it's happening.
Seem more furious than worried.
On the, both. It sort of morphed. It went from worry. He's throwing it all away again. Last time I left for 6 weeks, they almost fired all of us. Like, it's got to, I got to keep this thing afloat. And so I run back in here with Jamel and Michael.
I didn't ask for any of that during that 6 weeks. And we also had the highest rated downloads that we've ever had. The most downloads we've ever had in a month. Period. End of discussion.
But no, because we almost got fired. Like, that's the part that you don't know.
Well, I forgot that part. But I had a banner month. I mean, I did.
Are you counting money again? Did you just pull out of your pocket?
Just randomly pulled at his wallet.
Did you just do that again?
I want to explain what I'm doing. I'm trying to teach my kids lessons about money. What we do in our house now is every time you have fives, you put it into a container.
Why were you doing that now?
Because I had three fives. I just wanted to make sure I didn't use them later. So I stuck
are your
them
daughters here and I'm not aware
are
of that?
On purpose, like, you symbolically, while I yell at you, you're counting more money? Like, that's like,
I was
I will
just
take
making the sure my fives were put in the correct place. That's all.
But why go then is what I'm asking. Like, you turn.
I have no idea, Dan.
Why are you teaching specific lessons about fives? Well, how does that separate them from the other bills?
It's a little game. If we never use a $5 bill and we start putting them away, mm-hmm. you will see that after a few months, you will have hundreds of dollars. And mm-hmm. then I'm going to take those hundreds of dollars and
doesn't work with 20s.
I'm going to gamble it. No, I'm going to invest it for them to show them how much $500 could turn into by the time they get out of college.
Yeah,
that's
good lesson.
All. Thank you.
That's a good lesson.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, all of the bills in my wallet are in sequence. That's one of my peccadilloes.
Yeah.
My whole life, 20s, 10s, 5s, 1s.
Right. That's not really a peccadillo so much as an idiosyncrasy.
You think? Is that right?
Yeah. Peccadillo is like a little, like something that you don't like about yourself. Or right. I believe the literal definition is like a little sin.
Yeah, but I don't particularly like that about myself. Because I'm not particularly anal. You know, I mean, I do always put my left sock and my left shoe on before my right. But other than that, I don't really have habits such as my dollar bill habit in my wallet. And I don't know how that started. But right now, if a dollar bill is out of sequence, if I have a 20, a 5, a 1, and
drive
a 10, it drives me nuts.
Yep. Yeah. Same thing.
Right. Kind of late in the game and teaching Emma and Rachel about money, aren't you?
After a lifetime of trying to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
Like this. Now he's decided it. But right before they leave for college, keep your bills in order so somebody else doesn't steal them. Why do I know this? I'm your father. I'm a thief.
I count my money while literally stealing it from Dan.
Thank you.
Do they even carry cash? I haven't had cash in my pocket for like 5 years, Stugatz.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. The young people making fun of us for carrying cash.
You got to have cash.
You got to have cash.
Got to have it.
Put those on the poll,
you
please.
You don't, though.
Chris Cody. Yeah. I know, right? No, but please put both of these things on the poll.
Cash
on, on the poll. Do you got to have cash? Yes or no?
Spelled K-A-Y-S-H.
Yes, please spell it like that. And also, do you have all of the bills in you? Well, if you don't have a wallet, put this parenthetically. If you have a wallet, do you have all of the bills in perfect? Must you have all of the bills in perfect order? Yes or no? So are we at number one now? Are we ready for number one?
We've arrived at number one.
This was, I think we almost all agreed on this, really. And he doesn't have even the video from Andrew Streeter because we really enjoyed that a listener, we want to encourage that, decided to make an entire video that was funny for us, and we want you competing. We've changed the show a number of times in the years, right? It used to be callers competing, learning how to compete to be more creative and clever, and then it became texters and more texters competing to be clever, and within that it was phone calls with singers. And now you have a creative space. If you've got something that's good enough, song or anything else, you can get in here. So this is a universal number one. Everyone was applauding this because everyone who gets the show sort of was moved by, I think, oh, look at the particular guy who has decided to write something, to write comedy for these guys because he's going to be coming with us. Like, that's one of the steps that's going to be taken here. Adam McKay and Mike Schur can do things for the show. They have the space as just fans of the show to do things. And that, you know, we were doing that in the shadows. If you were listening during the pandemic, it was a dark time. But one of the things we were doing over and over is working on this bit that sort of made fun of the machine from inside the machine with Adam McKay. He was playing an assortment of characters, and many of you hated it, and that's fine.
Like, what? That was Adam McKay?
Wait a minute, it wasn't?
What? I mean, I don't know. I feel like you're giving away. I mean, Tim Jerns, as real to me as anyone who's appeared on the show.
Well, they told me. Maybe Mike was trying to keep me sane during a delirious time. He just told me. Maybe it could have been one of you guys. I wouldn't have known. I've never met Adam McKay.
No, Tim Jerns is a real strength and conditioning coach who...
His way went wayward.
He's on Twitter.
No, guys. I wasn't talking about Jerns. Jerns was real. You just never knew what in the shadows was real and what wasn't. And some of those people, they told me, were Adam McKay. Evidently, they weren't. I got that wrong.
So, Stugatz, what was number one?
Stupidity.
That's not true. That's a lie. It's liar.
Number one was really the belly button doctor.
No, we didn't even bother to. We didn't bother to open the cage for the chickens. Stugatz loved the joke, though. He did jazz hands at you guys.
That was funny. The marathon observations were number one. Greg, he did compliment your 4 a.m. hour.
Did he?
It didn't make his top five, but he did say
honorable mention.
Delightful.
All right. Others receiving votes.
I'm going to work harder next time.
Okay, congratulations. Yes.
Thank you.
I do like the idea of there being a next time on that. Doing that annually to raise money for ALS, conjuring the spirit of Jerry Lewis, Roy, like the one of those telethons where we do that every year to raise money.
Yeah, the Labor Day telethon. Yeah, let's not do that.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
So here's Mike Schur spoofing Stugatz.
Well, I mean, I've been watching the marathon. I've made some observations.
Oh, wow.
I guess you could call it marathon observations.
Yes.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
You've got marathon observations. All right.
I've got some marathon observations.
It is time for
Mike Schur
to share his game notes.
No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Marathon Observations is sponsored by no one because it's 7 in the morning on the West Coast. You've been live for 22 hours and no one is listening anymore. Dan, after decades at ESPN, multiple suspensions for various shenanigans, public battles over China, and LeBron James billboards, the firing of Chris Cody, the rehiring of Chris Cody, and one very awkward interview with Rob Manfred. Make no mistake about it. The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is back. The pirate ship. The best thing that ever happened for fans of this show is not DraftKings giving you $50 million to do whatever you want. Nor is it you giving us 24 straight hours of content that we didn't want. The best thing that ever happened for fans of this show is the Florida Panthers losing in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
He's right. Yeah.
So we don't have to hear 10 more hours
so right.
of Mike and Roy talking about Sergei Bobrovsky and Coach Q, the Ice Cats.
Bob.
Wait. I take that back. The best thing that ever happened for fans of this show was the Miami Heat getting swept in the first round of the playoffs. So we do get to hear 10 more hours of you realizing you could have had James Harden for Tyler Hero. You know what the first R in Hero stands for, Dan?
I do not.
Ruh-roh. You know what the second R in Hero stands for, Dan?
I do not.
Regret. Because you could have traded him for James Harden. You know what the O, E, and R in Hero stand for, Dan?
I do not.
Overrated.
Yes, of course. I should have.
You know what the H in Harden stands for, Dan?
I do not.
Hero. As in you could have had him for Tyler Hero. Hey, Dan. You know what the difference is between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics?
I do not.
The Celtics won a playoff game this year. Dan Le Batard telling me that Boston is racist in retaliation for these Heat jokes. Collision course. I spent 4 hours in the shipping container in 2018 while writing a piece about this show for Slate.com. It didn't smell great then. I can only imagine what it smells like now after 22 hours of you packed in there like sardines. My guess is that it smells like sardines. Chris Whittingham, a non-Caucasian guy who loves advanced metrics and soccer and uses words like chicanery and calls 0-0. And every time he says something fancy, a little jingle plays that makes fun of how fancy he is. Somewhere, Pablo Torre is jealous.
So jealous.
Witty.
So jealous.
Jessica Smetana, a football-obsessed woman who leaks confidence when she talks and is unfairly asked to answer on behalf of all women every time something happens involving women in sports, because none of the dopes in that room know how to talk about misogyny without putting their feet in their mouth. Somewhere, Mina Kimes is relieved. Smetty. Yesterday at noon, I wrote a joke for this bit. And the joke was that this 24-hour marathon would be the longest Dan has ever gone without drinking tequila since the first 10 years of his life. Then I turned on the marathon 8 hours in and saw Dan and Charles Barkley drinking tequila. Dano, here's my review of the guests I've seen so far. Ron McGill, great as always. Jim Rome, take it down a notch. Jemele Hill casually drops that Skipper gave her her first $1 million check. Legend. Pat Riley, pretty chill. Like, really chill. Like, maybe he somehow got into Stugatz's stash right before the Zoom started. I'm pretty sure at one point, Pat Riley called Amin El Hassan amino acid.
Yes, he did.
He did, right?
That's, that is absolutely correct. And also showed us a UFO. Us an actual UFO.
Shane Battier. You know how Shane Battier is aging, Dano?
Not at all.
Like a fine wine.
Yes.
But the best guest, by far, the deer behind Michelle Beadle. John Skipper should sign those deer to a multi-year contract and have them just roam around the Clevelander. I saw the official poster for this marathon. Mike Shore on the poster. Adnan Verk on the poster. Brockmeyer, a fictional character, on the poster. David Sampson, not on the poster. Miami finally gets its revenge for that god-awful stadium that built the city out of $1 billion. You know what the S in Sampson stands for, Dano?
Swindler.
Super pissy that he's not on the poster. Fountain of content. More like fountain of being super pissy that he's not on the poster. If you don't like this marathon, might I recommend you flip over to ESPN, where every day they do an accidental marathon featuring 24 straight hours of New York Jets coverage with Mike Greenberg. This marathon started 20 hours ago with Dan crying and Stugatz carrying a feather duster and Billy holding a 7-day-old baby. And the only woman in the entire studio being forced to stand up. And Stugatz sitting in his chair shirtless. And Chris Cody sitting in a pool full of goo. And Mike Ryan covering a Verizon Live read that Dan couldn't do because he was crying. And Amin and Poppy on the roof in a fake pirate ship. And all that was in the first 30 minutes. And you're still going. DraftKings didn't bail right then and there. The hell are they thinking? Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the marathon observations.
That is, I mean, professionally done.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'll still be talking about the Panthers, though, Mike. I'll still be talking about the Panthers. Thank you very much.
You should get excited about that because Sher and McKay are going to be doing stuff around here, and we don't know where it's coming and when it's coming, but we're looking forward to all of it. That leads us into a fresher set of observations, Stugatz's.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Dan, he was a five-time NBA All-Star. Five-time All-NBA. One of the great dunkers we've ever seen in the association. He went away for a while. People laughed at him. After all, he tallied two dunks in the last 3 years. But with 18 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals in the Nets' Game 1 victory over the Bucks. Dan,
yeah.
Make no mistake about it. Blake Griffin
yes.
is back.
Didn't have a dunk for like a year and a half, 2 years. How ridiculous.
I said 2 in 3 years. 2 Tyree blowouts? Or is that tire blowouts?
That's tire, Dan. We're talking
Tyree?
About
it.
T-Y-R-E?
It's the British spelling, Stugatz.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
T-Y-T-I-R-E.
That's how they spell it on the grid, Stugatz. You wrote it.
Tyree.
You wrote it. Whose fault is that?
It's the guy who got a touchdown from Eli Manning in a big spot. It wasn't a touchdown, actually.
Why'd you write it that way?
I didn't write. I don't know.
But why are you yelling at everyone else for writing tire with a Y?
Two tire blowouts, Tyree. Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen off the podium. Debris everywhere. And Dan, just like that, the Al Jabirani Grand Prix is back.
What?
Al Jabirani.
You screwed up the punchline. Read the punchline again.
Wait, pronounce it correctly the first time.
Is Baku?
So it's Azerbaijani.
Yeah.
And it's Baku.
Grand Prix is Baku.
Wait a minute. Did you just make it? Aja Barbrani is back. Is that what you just did?
No, I want to
Azerbaijan punch you. I mean.
Azerbaijani Grand Prix, which is in Baku, is Baku.
Is Baku.
Didn't you write these?
Yep.
That would have been funny. Okay.
John Rahm had to withdraw from the memorial with a 6-shot lead. Want to know what else is back, Dan? COVID. Boston Bruins. Listen up. If you want to beat a Barry Trotz coach team when his back is against the wall, you better bring more than what you brought. Man coaches his ass off. Hey, how are the Isles, little 3-2 lead here in the series?
One of my great regrets about yesterday, honest to God, not that much of this show is planned, but this is a thing that actually happened. I walk in yesterday, maybe it would have been, well, it would have been a better show if I'd just done what Stugatz wanted to do, which is he greeted me instead of good morning with...
Barry Trotz, with his back against the wall, is unbeatable as a head coach. I mean, you have to keep his back against the wall. Otherwise, he's going to kill you. And he did.
Instead of good morning, yeah. Stugatz says to me that. Yeah. That's what he said to me. Yeah. Yes, that was good morning. Dan, it was one of those games last night.
It's my hockey analysis. I mean, that's it. Listen, Barry Trotz, when his back is up against the wall, he never loses.
Agreed.
Ever. And if you're going to beat him, you're going to have to kill him and attend his funeral afterwards.
Put that on the poll, yeah. Chris. Yes, put that on the poll. You not only are going to have to kill him in order to win the game, but you're going to have to contractually get with the lawyers and make sure that you're at his funeral as well.
Mike, sure. Get your own material. Hashtag royalties. It was the best moment of my life.
Oh, my God. It was pretty damn good.
Also, a tough act to follow.
Yes. Yes.
I wish he hadn't done it. Here's what I hate about the Nets. They don't need James Harden.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah, it is. Put that on the poll, too, Chris. Is it annoying that the Nets don't need James Harden?
And every fifth day tradition unlike any other. Jacob DeGrom. I love that guy. This Kucherov-Stamkos thing is total bullshit.
It kind of is.
I said it.
It kind of is, yeah.
Stugatz
is totally right. Unfair.
If life is a highway, does it make you sing out loud in your car? Nothing will.
Put that on the poll as well. I think I agree with that.
Greg, you don't like that song?
I do like it. I used to like it a lot. Yeah, a little overplayed, but still.
The F in Federer stands for finished. Vlad.
Whoa.
I'm telling you, man. He's hurting. He won a match, and then he withdrew because his body couldn't handle the 4 hours on the clay courts. Finished, man. Vlad Guerrero Jr. Jesus.
Yes.
That's all I got.
Yeah, that's it.
Christian Pulisic scores the game-winning penalty against Mexico to win the CONCACAF Nations League.
CONCACAF.
Whatever. Christian, do me a favor. Do it in the World Cup. That I can pronounce. Why? It matters. I've heard of it. Do it there. U.S. soccer. Still dead. Why can't Chris Middleton...
Why did you just lash out? What was that?
I wrote that.
I know, but why did you just cut soccer like that? What was the point of that?
It's dead. It has been, always will be.
Okay, but we just got excited talking about Messi and all that. You were engaged in that conversation. A famous guy, a name, was coming to Miami.
And speaking of doing it in the World Cup, how about Messi do it? I mean, he's never won one of those.
Broad.
Thank you. Why can't Chris Middleton play like that against the Heat? Dan, you know what the B in Budenholzer stands for? Bye-bye. Steve Nash said he was heartbroken for James Harden after he had to leave game one with a hamstring. Heartbroken? Nash is acting like he's a net lifer who has waited for this opportunity his entire life. Harden's played 36 games for the Nets.
Didn't you say that Nash shouldn't take that job because it was too much pressure, or that he would feel a lot of pressure in that job? Isn't that something you said?
No, it wasn't the pressure. It was the pain in the asses he had to coach on a daily basis.
Okay, but does it look like he's suffering?
Not right now. Looks like he's having a blast.
Jesus Christ.
It allows you to be right in every way about the Nets while ignoring previous opinions. I'm pretty sure you told him to not take that job.
I did.
Because it would be too much, too hard. A guy who's never coached before. Yeah, just give me the three best players. Watch me club Giannis.
Also too easy. I mean, yeah. Nash, go challenge yourself.
Yes, Durant is still going to have no titles in your personal record book.
That's right. Jalen Rose said he was shocked the Bucks lost after James Harden left the game. Jalen, I love you, but you can't be shocked that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving won a home game. You just can't do it. I don't know why that upset me so much. It did.
Wait a minute. We've got an update. We've got an important update being held over the head of one Chris Cody.
So far in the show, we have three coughs that have just been coughs, and we have three coughs that are from laughing.
Deadlocked. Okay.
Very good. Deadlocked so far. Who will win? Can DraftKings, can we do that every day? Who will win, DraftKings? Just Cody coughing or Cody laugh coughing?
Pablo Sandoval is a Brave. Kung Fu Panda. Portland Trailblazers.
Oh, wow. What happened? I thought
they
were
eliminated.
What? But I thought they were. What were they?
They were. Now they're.
Oh, okay. I think it should be even firmer than
that. It's a far drop.
Yes, it is a far drop. But
how would you do it?
I would go for a to. Wait a minute. Okay. That was sensual.
Relax.
It really was.
Sensual.
Yeah.
Unseemly. They're his observations.
Yeah.
That's true. Thank you.
Is what I'm talking about,
Thank
Tony.
You. I'm sorry. Yeah. This
what is
has to be an HR violation at this point. It really does. Wait, can we figure
have
out
HR?
Wait a minute. The cough laughs just took the lead.
Cough laugh. Yeah.
4-3 up now. The cough laugh.
Damn it.
I've arrived at an interesting point.
I want to do that for the rest of the time until we bury him. Like we did with Mike. No, I want to have a running tally of laugh coughs for the rest of the. I want it. Also on my grave where his son's ash crack will be.
You want it right up until his death?
Just
announce the result of the funeral?
Yes, yes, at the funeral, announce the fight. Did you bet? And brought to you by DraftKings. Did you bet on it? Which would it be at the end? Would it be cough laughs or just coughs?
Calves.
Funeral. That's right. Through tears. I miss him so much. That thought with my tears brought to you by DraftKings.
So DraftKings is sponsoring my funeral. Do I have that straight?
Or at least this board at your funeral. Maybe we'll turn the whole thing into a NASCAR.
That'd be a lavish funeral, I'll tell you that.
You paid for your funeral already, right?
I don't know. My wife took care of all that.
Oh, God.
Can we call your mom, Chris, please? Let's call your mom.
Yes. Anyway, I've arrived at an interesting point in my relationship with ice cream where the risk just might not be worth the reward.
You're lactose intolerant. I think you have been unidentified for years.
Man, the Bucks really miss Dante DiVincenzo, the Italian.
The Italian.
Milwaukee, what the buck? Serena out. Osaka and Federer withdraw. Dan, tennis is dead. Did someone say Super League? Anybody? Well, tennis Super League.
Put it on the poll, Chris Cody. Deader, soccer, tennis, or Mike Ryan?
The Titans added Julio Jones to an offense that already has Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. You know what the Titans are doing? They're going for it right now.
Yes.
Sixers, Hawks, congratulations. Your series started. Since the Hawks fired Lloyd Pierce, they are 32-12, including 5-1 in the playoffs and 3 wins away from the Eastern Conference Finals. Julio Jones and Derrick Henry. Holy shit. Carey Price. Hot goalie alert. Dan. You know what the P in Carey Price stands for?
I do not.
Puck stopper. Jason Kidd staying with the Lakers rather than taking over the Blazers. Damian Lillard your move. Death, taxes, and a Daryl Morey tweet. Dan.
Yes.
You know what Trey Young is having? Take a guess.
I do not.
It's a coming out party, Dan.
Ah, yes, of course.
If the Titans don't win the Super Bowl, Mike Vrabel should have to cut off his penis and his testicles. Dan, the Metropolitans. Dan.
Yes.
In the first place.
Yes.
They're good.
Yes.
Every fifth day. They're great.
That's right.
I worry about the other 4 days, though. Right now, so far, so good. Giants third baseman, Evan Longoria. He's out 4 to 6 weeks after a collision. The news here is that Evan Longoria is a Giant. Longo. Did you know that?
I did, actually.
He's still playing?
Yes, but yes. I learned it.
Wait,
how do you know so much about the Giants?
You knew Brandon Belt was the first baseman?
I learned. I'm a very poor bettor. We'll get to that at some point in our lifetimes.
You and I need a lot of time.
Got a lot of talking to do. It'll be a rich, ripe playground as we talk about DraftKings and gambling, honestly, the rest of the way to explain to you how there's a really funny story we have to tell at some point about my gambling through Stugatz. Because, yes, it's been... I haven't won since Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl.
If I didn't place any of those bets, I'd be a super... I am a super wealthy. I'd be a super wealthy man. I mean, really. I should have booked those.
We'll tell you that story. I owe more money today.
Yes, you do. Yes.
He got the text this weekend. His bookie buys him a bottle of Dom every year.
Yeah.
Thanking me for the business. AJ Brown taking credit for the Julio Jones trade. AJ, the Stugatz is stronging you. Ben Roethlisberger said the Steelers, fun new offense, is being overlooked. Ben, it's June. How can we overlook something we haven't seen yet? Big Ben. Logan Paul weighed in 34.5 pounds heavier than Floyd Mayweather. Hey, Logan, weaving a salad. Dan, you know what the B in Bogdanovich stands for?
Balls.
You big, gigantic balls. By the way, I think Logan Paul wins that fight. How about that? I mean, I wrote these on Sunday over the weekend. I was exhausted. That fight happened. Oh, Paul almost won, right?
That's you predicting that he would win the fight and now having the result and not changing your weekend observation?
No, I didn't do it. Lazy. Hey, French Open, enjoy your women's final that no one will care about.
Yep.
The Hawks did everything they could to lose that game. The Clippers and Mavs, rare winner and loser, leaves town match. Congratulations to the Jazz, Clippers, or Nuggets. One of you will be going to the NBA Finals. We know the Suns won't, and we all know why. Luka always looks like he's going to throw up. Puka Doncic. 24-hour radio marathon. Hell of a time. Speaking of hell, our prize. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.